monitor, or you can follow along in your Bible. Today's Palm Sunday. I'm super stoked. I'm super excited. Is anybody in here excited about what the Lord has done for us? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Man, this is what I feel in my heart, man, that the good Lord wants to give a lot of us peace and, well, healings in every area of our life. A lot of us, some of us maybe, let me say it like this. We might need to forgive ourselves of things we've done in the past. Amen. God wants to bring a healing there. Some of us have went through some really trying and sad and bad things in our life, man. God wants to heal us from that. God wants us to be that people, man, that are just so devoted to Him that we can give all our burdens to the Lord. And when we give our burdens to the Lord, He wants to give us peace. He really wants to heal a lot of us. That's what the good Lord was talking to me about during the praise and worship. That some of us in here are hurting, right? Yeah, we got burdens. We got things that we're not meant to carry. And life is pretty unfair sometimes. But God wants us to give this stuff to Him. And He wants to give us peace. And the good Lord is still in the miracle working business, guys. And some of this stuff that we're holding on to, we might think, well, there's no way for me to get healing out of this. There's no way for this to get fixed. This has already happened. There's no coming back from this. That sort of thing. Listen, Luke 1:37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And God wants to bring healing to His people. Amen. So anyways, pray about that. Because God really wants to heal His folks, man. Amen. So John 12, and we're going to start at verse 12. We're focusing on the triumphal entry this morning. This is Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, okay? And a lot of people saw that. A lot of people are getting stoked up about this guy called Jesus. And he's coming into Jerusalem. And, well, that's pretty much where we're going to start right now. John 12 and verse 12. Father God, thank You for Your anointing. Thank You that Your will is going to be done in this service. Thank You that every single person in here is going to leave changed, Lord. Thank You, Father God, for the excitement and the anticipation that's building up in us, Lord. Thank You that we are a thankful people, Lord, that we are full of gratitude, Lord, and that we hunger and thirst for what You want out of our lives, Lord God. And thank You for Your healing power, Lord, healing our hurts and our rejections and just teaching us to forgive one another. We love You and praise You. Thank You for the wonderful things You want to do in our lives and in our homes and in this service. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast, this is the Passover feast, so Jerusalem is like just super saturated with folks, man. It's bursting at the seams. People are coming from all over for the Passover feast. This would be a crazy, exciting time. This is like Christmas, Easter, all types of big holidays rolled into one for the Hebrew people. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Verse 13, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him. Okay, now have you ever wondered, like, what's the deal with the palm branches? Is that just something that was lying around, like, woohoo, look, this is cool? Something that the kids would do? Man, palm branches to this culture was like a... how can I word this? It was like a symbol of victory. Like, remember the flag in the American Revolution, the don't tread on me thing? It's kind of, you see it around a lot lately, the snake and all that, of the American eagle, a sign of national pride, but it's also screaming like victory, victory. These folks, man, have a plan for Jesus Christ. All these people that have gathered around, even the disciples that have been with them for 3+ years, they have a different agenda. They have a different plan than what Jesus actually has. I mean, Jesus is going to fulfill everything that He promised in the Word of God. Amen? But Jesus is going to do it by the Word of God. So what's going on is these people, they've been suppressed and ruled by the Romans for a long time. And the Romans were pretty cruel. And so here comes this guy, and they really believe, okay, this very well could be the Messiah. He's doing all these amazing things that were prophesied about the Messiah. And He's coming to town. And they're screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. And Hosanna would be like saying, save us now. They're doing the palm branches, victory, victory, victory. Be like, man, if there was this big crazy stuff going on in America, and we all showed up at this place, and we were all wearing like a American flag T-shirts and American bald eagle hats and don't tread on me and all that. We're like, let's get this. It was like a big national thing, man, where they were getting stoked up. They were like, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. It's all coming down to this moment right here. And they're right. It is coming down to that moment, but God's got a different plan than what they have planned. And I just want to tell you guys this morning that sometimes, man, we can be disappointed because we think that God's not with our program. And you know what? God doesn't have to be with your program. You know what I mean? It's not about our program. It's not about what we want out of life. It's about what has been done for us. Amen? He died so we could be saved, so we can live forever. Amen? And God's not on your timetable. He's on His timetable. Amen? And He's going to do some awesome and amazing things. And just because He hasn't done them the way you think it should be done, listen, don't get bitter. Don't allow that stuff to come in. And if you have gotten bitter about something, give it to the Lord. Amen? Because the simple fact of the matter is that we're not always going to understand everything He does. You know what I mean? He says in the Word of God, my ways are above your ways. You know, as high as the heavens are from the earth. Meaning you ain't going to always understand the things I do. You know what I mean? But I give you some awesome promises that you can hang on to that should give you peace and know that I love you and I'm going to do what's best for you. And sometimes we look at our lives like, well, how in the world could that have been best for me? Hey, my ways are above your ways. We don't always get it, but God knows what He's doing and He wants to bring you comfort and peace no matter what you're going through. Amen. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So everybody's stoked up, man. They're fired up. They're like, man, this is really going to happen now. This Jesus guy, He's doing all these amazing things. He just rose this dude up from the dead, man, Lazarus. He's coming into town. So they're waving the palm branches. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying out, Hosanna. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Okay, now, Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. Look right here. This is actually, what's going on right now is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy that the psalmist put down in the book of Psalms right here. Lord, save us. Or we can say, Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. That's what these people are screaming, man, right now as Jesus is coming into town. This is it, man. Save us. Save us. And they're getting all fired up, man. And this was making the Pharisees, this was making the Sadducees, this was making everybody big time nervous, man. You know what I mean? The Pharisees had a nice little hold on power. The Romans had a good thing going, man. And nobody wanted that stuff to get messed up. So everybody's getting nervous. And the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin are like, something's got to be done about this Jesus guy. You're like, we are losing major ground right now. Okay, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord from the house of the Lord. We bless you. So that's a prophecy that we see fulfilled right now as Jesus is coming down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. Amen? All right. Verse 14. We can go to the next slide, guys. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. That's a prophecy being fulfilled as well. See, Jesus Christ, man, he couldn't miss fulfilling. He couldn't, if he didn't fulfill one prophecy written about the Messiah, then guess what? The whole thing would have been wrong. The whole thing would have been messed up. You see what I'm saying? He fulfilled every single thing that was prophesied about him, right down to the very last thing. Amen? So maybe some of these people are seeing these prophecies being fulfilled, and they're like, yes, yes, this is the Messiah. He's about to kick the Romans out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And you can imagine how the disciples are feeling. They're like, man, 3 years of sleeping, you know, with no pillows and hanging out with Judas all the time and all this stuff. And you know what I mean? And Peter making cornbread every other weekend. All this stuff, man, it's going to be so worth it, man, because we're going to go into Rome. We're going to go into Jerusalem, kick the Romans out. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be at that place where we need to be again as a nation. Amen. God's got a different plan. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is going to set up an earthly kingdom, but he's coming now. He's coming. This is what's going on, man. He's setting up his kingdom in our hearts. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter if you're in prison. Nobody wants to be in prison. You know what I'm saying? But you can be free in your heart because I belong to the Most High God. You know, it doesn't matter if you're ruled by another country. Not that you want to be ruled by another country. Heaven forbid, right? But no matter what's going on in your little world or your world, man, we can have peace, real peace, because we belong to the Most High God, and we have those wonderful promises that if he lets it happen, it's going to happen for a reason. Amen. That he won't never leave me or forsake me. Amen. That it's going to get really, really good. All right. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, just as it was written, verse 15. So this is another prophecy. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. So maybe one or two folks, maybe a lot of folks are like, wow, this is it, man. Here comes this Jesus guy riding on a donkey's colt. There's the King of Kings, and he is the King of Kings. Amen. They just had a different plan. They were looking at the whole earthly thing. And, you know, the good book says we need to keep our focus and our minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know what I mean? So they're looking at things in the natural. Is anybody ever guilty of that? Looking at things in the natural and like, nah, I don't think this can work out. Maybe not in the natural, but we serve a supernatural God. You know what I mean? So don't think that you can't be healed. Don't think that you can't be delivered. Don't think that you can't have peace in your heart that you've struggled for years and years and years. Man, our God can do all things, and he loves us. Amen? Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. Okay, verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, let me stop there for a second. Now, think about the disciples, man, these 12 guys, and man, this has got to be like payoff time for them, man. It's getting super excited, super exciting. You know, the palm branches, the cloaks on the ground, Jesus on the donkey coming into Jerusalem. And, man, you know, they got to be getting pretty stuck, pretty fired up, man. You're starting to think about, well, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the right-hand man beside Jesus? Because I've been real good to you, Jesus. You know, I make that special, never mind, doesn't matter. You know, they're all thinking about that sort of thing. When Jesus is going to wash their feet in a little while, they're discussing who the greatest is. You know what I mean? Okay. We all have our own little agendas of what we think God should be. Amen? God doesn't have to fit into your mold. God's not going to fit into your mold. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get this weird ideal about how God is or Jesus is because of your daddy or your lack of having a daddy or those sorts of things. Listen. The Most High God is the most loving God, the most loving Father we could ever imagine or need or want. He is everything we need. Amen? And he hates our sin, too. Okay. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, so they got this whole other thing going on, what they're thinking is going to happen. And then imagine, I mean, can you imagine how this felt? To the 12 disciples or the 11 disciples or the 12 disciples, when Jesus is killed, you know what I mean? How their hearts were crushed because they thought this thing was going a certain direction, man. And then all of a sudden, screeching breaks, man. And there is their teacher. There is their rabbi. As Peter said, man, there you are the Messiah. There's the Messiah hanging on a tree. And they forgot all the prophecies in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus, the Messiah, and the things that he would have to suffer. They were focusing on the other things that they wanted to focus on, the stuff that sounded good. Sometimes we do that too, don't we? You know what I mean? We focus on what we want to focus on. We kind of cherry pick what we want to follow in the Word of God. Raise your hands if you ever do that. You don't have to, but I will. You know what I mean? We put God in a little box and we'll say, you know, I know you can do this, but you're probably only going to do this. No, we serve a miracle-working God, and he's still a miracle-working God. He hasn't stopped doing miracles. I think a lot of us, or a lot of people, me included, we stop pushing in. We stop wanting to pay the price. We stop wanting to trust in God because it's easier to raise up $14 and go to the clinic. Can I get a witness? I think it's more than that now. I don't know. I don't know. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, when Jesus was resurrected, when all of a sudden, there he is, back from the dead, these things start making sense. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were always talking about how you were going to suffer, but they didn't want to listen to that, man. We can't be like that, guys. We can't afford to be like that. Time is short. We can't pick out what parts of the Bible we want to believe. We can't pick out the parts of the Bible that we want to follow. Amen? That's not how this thing works. Can I get a witness? Okay, so anyways, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Okay, so Luke 24. I'm gonna read another verse first that I did not give to Brother McClary because I made a decision. I'm not going to overburden my brother. Then I'm not going to do this. Actually, I think I forgot. Luke 9 and verse 22. Luke 9 and verse 22. And he said, this is what Jesus prophesied about himself. Now, that's kind of proof in the pudding right there, ain't it? When Jesus says, not only did all these Old Testament prophets say that these things are going to happen, but Jesus himself said pretty specifically, this is what's going to happen to me. This is what's going to go down. So when you see this happen, you will be able to believe and not lose any sleep on the matter. You will know that I am what I said I am. Amen. Luke 9 and verse 22. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders. Happened. The chief priests. Happened. And the teachers of the law. Happened. And he must be killed. That happened. And on the third day be raised to life. Jesus said that was going to happen. More than once he told the disciples that was going to happen. But they didn't want to pay attention to that stuff, man. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just want to go to the fun stuff, the exciting stuff. But, you know, God wants us to push in and God wants us to trust in him and do that difficult obedience thing. You know what I mean? The stuff that doesn't feel good but the Word of God tells us to do, like turn the other cheek, forgive people. We like to focus on, well, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And that's true. But we also got to understand that God says love your neighbor like you love yourself. And that's a hard word, dude, especially if you got my neighbors. No, especially if my neighbors have me as a neighbor. I don't know. Now, my neighbors are fine. They're great people. I can't say nothing bad about them. Not while we're recording it anyways. Nadine, you have wonderful neighbors. You have the best neighbors. I was doing donuts in the church parking lot. That was me kicking up dirt. I had some kids in the car. They're like, you won't do a donut? Well, I sure will. Where's Rachel Dean? Okay, anyways. Okay, yes. Now, look right here. Luke 24, 6 and 7. This is awesome. This is so good because, hey, man, we'd be in a pretty rotten place right now, a pretty bad place if Jesus Christ didn't fulfill these prophecies. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, we might as well be out fishing. Right, Dwayne? You just take your pick. Sleep in. Do whatever you want to do. But see, here's the deal, man. You're in the right place because the Most High God sent his Son to earth to die for our sins. You know what I'm saying? And he paid a debt that he didn't know, so we get to live forever. He raised from the dead. There's no tomb. No one's going to find a tomb with the bones of Jesus Christ. That ain't going to happen. Spend a gazillion dollars on it. It ain't going to happen because he ain't in no tomb, man. He's at the right hand of the Father. Can I get a witness? Luke 24 and verse 6, this is the angel explaining why Jesus ain't in the tomb. So this is after the resurrection. Luke 24 and verse 6, he is not here. He has risen. Listen to this part. Remember how he told you? Remember what he used to tell you guys? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified. This is what Jesus Christ said. I'm going to be handed over to some Gentiles, and guess what? I'm going to get crucified. Now, that would sound pretty outlandish because crucifixion was for the worst of the worst of the worst. You had to be pretty heinous for that to happen. I have a pretty heinous charge for that to happen. It was usually set aside for murderers. So, I mean, that would be a pretty bold statement for Jesus to say, and I'm going to be crucified. You know what I mean? When it said the two thieves on the cross Yeah, they probably were thieves, or no doubt they were thieves, but they were also murderers or insurrectionists. They had something to do with going against Rome, more than likely, that they were being crucified like that, because when they crucified people, it was to make an example of them. You don't mess with Rome, okay? And if you look back, there's these prophecies hundreds of years, 700 years, years and years before Jesus Christ walked on the earth, before there was a baby in Bethlehem, that prophesied that he was going to be crucified. Everything had to be perfect. The Romans had to rule in this area for him to be crucified. They were the ones that crucified folks. It's all, man, there's no denying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You literally have to suppress your own intelligence to not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I like that. I literally have to suppress your own. I'm gonna start debating fancy boys now. I believe you have suppressed your intelligence. Yeah, I'm gonna start debating them. Make it so, Steve. You start calling up some people. Let's make it happen. We'll meet down at the library. We'll just pick a fight with people. I believe you have suppressed your intelligence. I don't know. What are we doing? What's going on? Let's go to the next slide. Oh, what's interesting, stay right there, sweetheart. Luke 24 and verse 8 says this, then they remembered his words. So here they go. Here's the ladies going down to the tomb. The tomb's empty. Here's the angel. And they're like, you looking for Jesus? Yeah, we're looking for Jesus. He's not here. Oh, yeah. Remember when he said these things were going to happen? This is what they said. Then they remembered his words. Yeah, he was always talking about this sort of thing. Wow. Okay. Anyways, Luke 19 and verse 41. So what we're doing now, we were talking about the triumphal entry. We're just jumping from John to Luke now. Same thing. Okay, you can find this in the Gospels. In all four of the Gospels, Luke 19 and verse 41, and all slightly different, all saying the same thing, but from different points of view. People have said before, like, man, there's so many contradictions in the Gospels where it says that there was two thieves on the cross, and this one says there was more than two, and all this. Man, it's not contradictions, man. What people are looking at it from different views, and they're all saying the things that God is showing them through their perspective, through their vision. You know what I mean? Like if Brother Dwayne has a different point of view right now of what I got. You know what I mean? But we're all looking at the same thing. Can I get a witness? Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. Okay, so that's a little different point of view. These people are still waving the palm branches, throwing down the palm branches. They're still screaming, Hosanna, blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. But if you were to look close at Jesus, and maybe his disciples are sitting a little taller, standing a little taller as they're walking down the mountain. You know, I'm with Jesus, I'm with him, you know, all this. But if you look close at Jesus, Jesus was actually weeping. He was weeping. And this is one of those things that kind of gets lost in modern day translation. When it says the weeping, this weeping isn't like, that movie was kind of sad or that didn't end the way I wanted it. But this is like wailing, man. This is like Jesus is really, really crying loud. This is what he's doing, riding down the side of the hill on this donkey. He is wailing. His heart is broken, okay, not just because what he's about to face, but he knows all these people, man, that they expect something, and when they don't get their way, they are going to reject him so fast. When they realize there might be a price for them to pay in this situation, they're going to reject him so fast. All these people have gathered because they heard about the miracles. A lot of them saw the miracles. All these people were there for the show, for the bennies. What can I get out of this? They weren't believing in him, and Jesus knew that. They just thought this was a great guy, and this is a great time to be alive, and this is really, really cool. You know what I mean? They weren't devoted to him. Amen? And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, verse 42, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. See, Jesus gets it, man. Of course, he's the Son of God. He completely gets it. He knows what he's going to Jerusalem for. You know what I mean? And he says, you want peace. You want me to raise this army. You want me to kick the Romans out. You want these heads to roll. You think that would bring you peace? That wouldn't bring you peace. The Moabites, the Philistines, it don't matter, man. It don't matter. You got to get your hearts right, man. You got to get your heart. If your heart is right, if you belong to the Most High God, you can have peace no matter what situation you're going in, no matter what situation you're involved in. Amen? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. You think this is going to make you happy? This has got to be fulfilled. The plan that God the Father has for me has got to come to pass, or you have no hope for salvation. You and all these people have rejected Jesus, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And I want to read Mark 8 and verse 36. Look at that, guys. Coming to you out of the NLT. That's the New Living Translation. These guys have an ideal of what they want Jesus to do. And let's be honest, sometimes we got our own ideal of what we think Jesus should do to make our lives better. And it's not about that, man. It's about picking up our cross and following him. Amen? Mark 8 and verse 36. And what do you benefit? And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? And it doesn't matter what you have at the end of the day if you reject Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? I know a lot of us, we have our own ideals of what we think Jesus should do. And we can get bitter and upset when things don't happen the way we think they should happen. But listen, God knows best. Amen? And there might be somebody in here. There might be several people in here. Might be all of you. I hope not. But there may be some people in here that have not made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The facts are there, man. If you get into it, man, you will see Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you do have enough faith to believe in him. Amen? Okay. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world? What if you are like the richest guy in the planet? You're like Donald Trump comes to you to borrow $5. You know what I mean? What if you were that dude, but you didn't love Jesus? It wouldn't matter. That ain't going to help you out on the other side. You know what I heard? The going rate, like if you had a gazillion dollars, and that's real money, there's gazillions. I don't know. Actually, I've made that up. That might be real money. But if you had a gazillion dollars and you went to the dude next to you in hell, you're like, hey, man, I'll give you a gazillion dollars. If you give me a drink of that water, that dude would be like, I ain't got no water, fool. Because, man, it's not a happy place, man. And it don't matter if you got gazillion dollars. And there ain't no water. It's horrible. Read the Bible, man. You don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to be there. Don't be looking for me, man. I heard Paul. Nope. Mm-mm. Well, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I do belong to Jesus. And he's perfect. He paid for my sins. Okay, so anyways, verse 43. This is what Jesus is saying. His heart is broken, man. He knows these people are going to reject him. He knows that they're missing their chance. Listen, if you haven't made that decision, you need to do it today. Because God ain't always going to, God does not promise tomorrow to nobody. He doesn't. You know what I mean? So here we are. We only have until our last breath to accept Jesus Christ. And these folks right here are rejecting the Messiah. Oh, they're stoked up because they think the Messiah is going to do exactly what they want. But he's on a different path, man. Something bigger than they could ever imagine. And when they find out that this Jesus is not on their plan, they're going to reject him, man. We can't reject him, man. We only have until our last heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? And we don't know when that is. And the good Lord ain't always going to, he doesn't promise to always strive with you. You don't know when he's going to cut that off. Okay, verse 43. This is what Jesus is saying now. For the days will come upon you. This is another prophecy. I wonder if I can believe in this Jesus of the Bible. I wonder if I can give my heart to this Jesus of the Bible. Man, look at history. History shows you that the Bible is correct, man. It honestly does, man. I'm telling you. For the day, you cannot disprove the Bible, but the more you dig in the ground over there, you will prove the Bible. For the days will come upon you, Jerusalem, for rejecting me. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricades around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. That is historical fact, man. They reject the Messiah. In 70 AD, Titus and the Romans, they're going to have enough of Israel and their insurrections and all this stuff. They're going to build a wall around Jerusalem. They are going to fortify themselves around Jerusalem. They're going to starve those people out, and they are going to murder over 1 million people, men, women, and children, babies. They're going to murder them all. They're going to take hundreds of thousands, I think. Yeah, I wrote that down. 1 million killed, yes. Hundreds of thousands will be made slaves. That's historical fact. Jesus is crying. This is what's breaking his heart. It's like, you're rejecting me. You don't understand. When your friend says, I don't have no time for that Jesus business, I don't care. Listen, man, you better pray for them, because they honestly don't understand what they're rejecting. They don't understand. It's when you pass away to the other side, you just don't go to sleep, man. That'd be swell. That'd be dandy. You know, a nap forever sounds great right now. You know what I mean? Give me 10 minutes and leave me alone. That sounds pretty good. I'm just playing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. They don't understand what they are rejecting. And they didn't understand it, and they said themselves, let this man's blood be on us and our children. They said it, man. Okay. So anyways, this all happened, man, in 70 A.D. Barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear down to the ground you, talking about Jerusalem, and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. I know that right now, man, we can be saved. Right now. I don't know if you'll ever get this chance again. I don't know. But I'm saying right now we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it would be an awesome day to do it. You know what I mean? These guys are rejecting him, and the price they're going to pay, it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to disperse the Hebrews throughout the world. There's going to be so much blood spilt. Amen? So, yeah, it's real historical fact, man. He wasn't just making nothing up. Let's go to the next slide. The temple, this awesome, mighty place that was one of the humongous wonders of the world at that time, man, it's not a wonder of the world now, because it's not even there. Because not one stone was left on top of another. They destroyed it all, and they plowed over it. They plundered it. After they killed everybody they could kill, they plundered everything. Okay, anyways. And Jesus says that's going to happen. And guess what? What God says is going to happen will happen. Hebrews 3 and verse 15. This is good stuff. As it is said today, if you hear his voice. Have you heard his voice today? Not just my voice, but maybe you're hearing like God talk through me. I know it's kind of weird, but think about it, man. What if God is really pushing you to say, you know what, you need to just do this today. Don't worry about what anyone says. And honestly, don't worry about what anybody thinks about you. If you haven't made that decision, everybody in here is going to be like super, super stoked, man. As it is said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Don't do it, man. Don't harden your heart. This is our opportunity right now to accept Jesus Christ. We honestly don't know if we'll ever get another chance. We could walk down that parking lot. Well, I don't know. Anyways, Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's Jesus right there, man. He stands at the door of our heart and knocks. And you know, here's the cool thing. I didn't make this up. I've heard this a lot. But the door to our heart, it opens from the inside. You know what I mean? Jesus can't just walk in. Hey, what's up? What's going on in here? He don't do that. All right? We got to open the door. It's like at Whataburger. When me and Dwayne go to Whataburger and Lewis, and we go to Whataburger, and we go to Whataburger. I'm always at Whataburger. If you need to find me, I'm probably at Whataburger. anyways, when you walk to the restroom, there is a door that leads directly into the kitchen of Whataburger. And because the way my mind works, I'm extremely tempted to go into that part and walk around until they say, sir, you have to leave. I don't know why I want to do that, but I've done that before. And since then, they've changed it to where the door only opens from the inside. Yeah, because I've tried it, and it's like, that dude's here, you know. Yeah, and I've honestly done that. But that door cannot be opened from the outside. And that's how your heart works, man. God, Jesus, will not force himself upon you. You know, but he pleads with us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. You know what I mean? And he says, today is the day. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, go ahead and check the door at Whataburger. I ain't lying. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. God's saying, you know what, man? We can be together, man. You don't have to go through this journey alone. You don't have to go to the bad place when it's all said and done. We can dwell together. We can be together. Yeah, my blood will cover your sins, man. All you got to do is believe and confess. And you know what? Then we'll work on all these things. Don't think that you got to be perfect, because you're not going to be perfect. You know what I mean? But when you come to Jesus, he's going to start working on some stuff. And that's the journey that all us saved people are on right now. Okay, so right now, guys, just search your hearts. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you just walk on up here? I'd love to pray with you. If you want to do it in private, you can get with me after church. But you know what, man? It'd be awesome if you just walk up here right now. Because we're not ashamed of the gospel.